but Wall gets the rebound, throws it out. To Thompson. Thompson with the three, and it's good. The place is electric here in the college showdown. As Tobias tries to go with the dunk, he goes right, scores ahead of guy number two, Colin Marshall.
Waiting for the field goal. That is blocked. That is that gorgeous. You have got to be kidding me. He blocked it and caught it at the same time. And he's going to bring it to the house for another Thinkos Prep touchdown.
It will do it. Thinkos Prep moving on to the state championship game for back-to-back years.
And Thinkos Prep is headed to a palestra. For the first time in school history, the St. Joseph hockey team are state champions.
You're listening to WSJP, the voice of all things St. Joe's Prep.
WSJP, the St. Joe's Prep Student Broadcasting Club Radio, only on blogtalkradio.com/WSJP, your voice for all things St. Joe's Prep. On our podcast throughout these upcoming weeks, we will be breaking down all of the big offseason moves, divisional games, divisional teams, and getting ready for the 2019 Major League Baseball season. We have another packed show here for Episode 2 of Season 2, as a couple moves have been made in the past week from our first show, along with previewing some of the other stuff of this offseason of Major League Baseball. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my right-hand man for the show, John Pease, into the show. Pease, welcome back to the stove.
Well, John, I'm actually straight ahead of you today, not to your right. But anyways, I'm excited to be here and get back on the stove.
All right, so our first segment is kind of a co-sport segment. It's talking about former Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray. He was drafted last year in the Major League Baseball draft in June by the Oakland Athletics, and they made an agreement with him, Pease, that they would let him play college football in his senior year, and then after college, he would go back into the organization and start from the minors all the way up to the majors down in, out in Oakland in California. But that has since changed. He was picked the Heisman Award winner. He did make it to the college football playoffs, the Final Four. They obviously lost to Alabama in that game. Interesting situation here before Major League Baseball and NFL. A guy can be a two-sport athlete. This is something this is something we've seen in history of both sports. You got Bo Jackson, you got Deion Sanders, who just a number of few names who played both sports, but I'm going to let you lead this segment as you more know of the situation itself.
Well, John, yeah, Kyler Murray obviously had that meeting with the Athletics. I believe he's represented by Scott Boras, if I'm correct. So, you know, when he went into the Athletics, he was talking money, demanded $15 million contract to play baseball, which usually this would be against Major League Baseball rules. You know, you're not allowed to offer a player just been drafted that much money. However, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred said that he would make a rule change if the Athletics were willing to give him that contract so that they could. And, John, that would mean that he'd be placed on the 40-man roster literally right away within skipping all those levels of minors. Probably would start around double A, be on the 40-man. So it'd be an interesting move for the Athletics for sure to see if they pursue that contract option of $15 million for an unproven recently drafted player.
While you were talking about that, I did search up on the internet of who Kyler Murray's agent is, and it is Scott Boras. So he's a guy that likes to wiggle as much money he can get from the opponent, from the team that he's trying to get his player to. He's basically doing everything for his player itself. He's trying to get everything, and he has one of the big free agent targets of this offseason, Bryce Harper. We'll talk about Harper later on in the show and how Boras is handling that situation with a couple of teams that are in the hot. seat of the Bryce Harper targets and the mysteries and all that kind of stuff with the signings, but he's testing NFL right now, and where do you see him kind of going? Because I know you had the college football show with Tyler during the season, and you were talking about these kind of stuff. So where do you see Murray signing if he is even drafted in the first round? Yeah, he's a pretty smaller quarterback. He's five. I think they list him as 5'9". Don't normally see that in an NFL quarterback just in the height. So he could be converted. That won't work out for his favor, obviously.
Well, yeah, John, you know, it's a big situation. Obviously, the NFL draft coming up, it is going to be really important for what he's going to do, where he's drafted in the NFL draft, because if you're talking about a quarterback taking in those first 15 picks of the first round, then it's going to be very likely for him to try and pursue football because he's going to have a chance at starting right away. But where it gets interesting is after that is really where the money starts falling off and the chance at playing or making an impact in your first year kind of falls off. And for Kyler Murray, you know, listed at 5'11", but only, as you said, comes in at around 5'8 or 5'9", a rather small guy. You wonder about the kind of future he can have in the NFL. You know, a lot of quarterbacks, the new prototypes, the 6'6", the 6'4 quarterback who can just look over everyone. So for Kyler Murray, a really interesting situation. You know, a lot of guys don't call him an NFL-type quarterback, relies a ton on his legs. And, you know, we've seen that not work out for a lot of guys. But then again, recently, like just this year, Lamar Jackson in the NFL kind of guy who really relies on his legs to get the ball to his receivers and make plays. So Kyler Murray, I mean, the NFL talent's there. It's just, I think the biggest factor on where he's going to go and what he's going to do is where he gets drafted and the money that the NFL is going
to
give him.
I think one of the teams that his name is being targeted to a lot is Arizona Cardinals. Now, they did get a quarterback last year in the first round. He showed some light once Josh Rosen. I couldn't think of his name. Thank you for that. But when he took over the starting job for Sam Bradford out there in Arizona, he showed some light. Now they're going to have a new head coach in Cliff Kingsbury, the former Texas A&M head coach, about 3 weeks as the offensive coordinator out of USC in California. He has been showing a lot of interest to Murray itself. It could be interesting how they use it. So we'll have to see how that goes. But for the Athletics, they had to see this coming. I think I read up an article over this weekend, and they said that they knew this was a possibility. They didn't obviously think it was going to happen, but you got to think of what Major League Baseball is going to look like if you have these two sport athletes in the next couple of years.
Yeah, John, I mean, this is obviously a situation that was handled pretty poorly by the Oakland Athletics. You know this is going to come. You know this is always a possibility. Sure, they gave Kyler Murray the contract. They gave him the huge $4.5 million signing bonus, and they thought that would be enough. He told them he planned to, right after his junior year of college, when his football season, he was going to come back to Major League Baseball, and he was going to be ready to go then. But obviously, you know, winning the Heisman, stuff changes, John, and I think that's what the Athletics are on the hard learning lesson of. And right now, they're just desperately trying to not lose their ninth overall pick, which they won't even get a compensation for.
Yeah, that's the thing, that out in Oakland, they don't have a lot of money to spend. It's a very small market, and getting these top prospects in the draft, and they drafted pretty high last year just because of how their season's been going lately out in Oakland at the Coliseum, and they might lose out on one of their stars that they could have built that team around. Now, the rumor is that they're going to have this new stadium in the next coming years. They're going to move out of the Coliseum, one of the worst stadiums to play in Major League Baseball. They're going to move into this beautiful stadium, and you're not going to have this kind of face of the franchise kind of guy to open that stadium up. And I think that's what they really were hoping, to have Murray be that kind of guy, because, like I said, they don't draw big-time free agents. You don't hear Oakland's name to Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, and all those top-profile and top-rated free agents that are still on the market right now. So they like to go to the draft, and they like to get those big guys. They got a couple guys in their farm system, but having Kyler Murray there could have just helped them start open that stadium up quicker and get more ticket sales.
Well, yeah, John, and I'm even more fascinated that the Athletics are contemplating this $15 million contract because, as you said, one of the cheaper teams in baseball, pretty small market. Out in Oakland, having to pay for a new stadium, I think 2023 opening day, or maybe 2024, one of those 2 years, is their goal for opening that stadium. But, you know, Kyler Murray, I'm even surprised they offered him this $15 million contract just because with the A's, we see them. They're usually pretty hesitant to pay these players, such as, well, we've seen it with Yonis Cespedes, traded him before he hit the market, so they didn't have to deal with that. We saw it with Josh Donaldson, getting rid of him before he hit the market. So for Oakland, I'm really surprised if they're going to – I will be surprised if they offer this contract to Kyler Murray, because it's a lot of money to commit to a guy that hasn't even played yet. You know, with Cespedes and Donaldson, both those guys had experience in the MLB and were stars, but – and they weren't willing to pay them, so whether or not they're going to give this money to an unproven, just recently drafted rookie that usually would take a guy around his age 6 years to develop to a major league talent player, I'd be shocked if they gave him that contract.
And what I'm thinking about right now that just started when we started talking about this topic, if you add him to the 40-man roster, it's very similar to the Rule 5 draft that teams plan. You got to add him to the 40, then but also if you're picked in the Rule 5, you go right to the majors. Obviously, that won't be the case here for Murray. If the Athletics give this $15 million contract, which they let's say it's most likely not going to happen here, he's going to test the waters of going to the NFL draft. Wouldn't you say that's the very likely chance of happening
Kyler
here?
Kyler already declared for the NFL draft,
okay.
So he's
going to
be in it.
So he turned down the Athletics thing. So it'll be interesting here. We're just getting started here on MLB Hot Stove Live. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, Thomas Avington will join us here. We'll talk about the latest on the Manny Machado, Bryce Harper rumors, along with breaking down current Phillies infielder Scott Kingery. All this and more on MLB Hot Stove Live Season 2 with John and John. We'll be back after this quick commercial break.
Alumni, parents, and friends of the Prep, are you grateful for a Prep education? Do you recognize the value that the Prep has provided for more than 160 years? If so, then the Prep needs your support. A gift to the Prep Fund ensures that today's students will benefit from our special brand of education, an education that develops the minds, hearts, souls, and characters. So give now. Together, we can show today's students the loyalty and commitment of our Prep family. Go to www.sjprep.org/giving to make a donation. That's www.sjprep.org/giving.
Do you want the best pizza in Northeast Philly? Then you have to go try Ernie's Pizza, located across the street from Northeast High School on Cotman Avenue. From pizza to cheesesteaks all the way to cheesecakes, Ernie's has the best taste for the best price. You want a deal? How about two slices of pizza and a large fountain drink for only $5? Amazing, right? If you want to reward yourself, and especially your stomach, visit Ernie's Pizza, 1618 Cotman Avenue in the heart of Northeast Philadelphia. Ernie's is a proud sponsor of WSJP and St. Joseph's Prep. Go Prep.
When colleges see St. Joseph's Prep on a transcript, they take note. That's because for more than 165 years, the Prep has churned out well-educated, well-spoken, and well-rounded young men who thrive in the college setting. They know their way around an SAT test and around the city, because when it comes to college, both matter. Come see what we're all about. Schedule a Hawklife visit today, or check us out online at www.sjprep.org. For the high school education you want and the edge you need, choose St. Joseph's Prep. College starts here.
What's up, everybody? I'm Frank Raffa, teacher of Spanish and French at the Prep, and you're listening to WSJP, Prep Sports Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 2 of season 2 of the MLB Hot Stove Show with John Liuzzi and John Pease here on WSJP, the voice of all things St. Joe's Prep. And Pease, our next segment right now is really going to be talking about two of the big free agent targets right now, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And with that, we're going to bring in our baseball analyst here on the Hot Stove, Thomas Avington, who's out in the great town of Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Tav, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show, John. I just got here in Bensalem. It's beautiful as always.
All right, so Tav, we're just going to ask you to speak a little bit louder. Your feed coming over from Bensalem to all the way here in North Philly is a little bit low, but Pease, we're going to talk about the big topic, obviously, of this week is when is Bryce Harper and Manny Machado is going to sign with either team. Now, for both players, it comes down to two teams, respectively, for both guys. Both have two of the top teams on in the race. For Manny Machado, it's obviously the Chicago White Sox and the Philadelphia Phillies. And for Bryce Harper, it's the Washington Nationals, the team that he used to play for, and also the Phillies. So Bryce Harper did have that meeting over on Saturday with the Phillies out in Las Vegas. Andy McPhail, John Middleton, Gabe Kapler, and Matt Klintak, all the Phillies administration, all front office guys, went out to Las Vegas to Harper's house to talk with him and his wife, along with Boris, who is his agent, along with some other family members. Those names were not disclosed to them in the reports, but it was about a 4 or 5 hour meeting. And when the Phillies front office flew back to Philly on Saturday, it looked like it was a great meeting overall for the Phillies.
Yeah, John, they said it was, at least, and a lot of parties.
I do think it is.
I'm not too sure. When I'm a 4 to 5 hour meeting, it's a long time, so I'm sure they got down to business and had some good conversations. But
yeah, Tab, on your side, I know you're a very big Manny Machado fan here. You want him to be here. So same with you, Pease. I personally think Bryce Harper is the better fit and better player of these two, and he will be signing with the Phillies. But what do you think about this, Tav?
Well, I think Manny Machado is by far the better player, by far the much better defender.
I highly disagree with that.
And he's also the better hitter. You just look at stats-wise, and you just – Bryce Harper had that one good season where he was batting in the low 300s, and he had about 40 home runs in his MVP season. But he hasn't really produced at that same level of this $300 million he's expecting. But Manny Machado has played up to that mark his whole career, and he's a gold glove third baseman, even though he's a shortstop. He'd rather play shortstop, but – I just think Manny Machado is a better fit for the Phillies. I think he'll like it better playing in Citizens Bank Park. I know that Bryce Harper kills the Phillies in like one of the smallest ballparks in the MLB, but Manny Machado, I think he'll be a great Philly.
Just to highlight what Tom said there, I love how he mentioned the fit, and the fit is so important when bringing up who you're going to bring into your team. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, Manny Machado is the clear and obvious fit for this team. This is a team that needs fundamental defense, and this Manny Machado not only is a sound defender, he's elite. He's probably the second best defensive third baseman in the entire MLB. Meanwhile, Bryce Harper had around negative 24 defensive runs saved last season. He is a horrendous outfielder, a horrible defender, and that is the last thing the Philadelphia Phillies need right now. And I love how Tom said it. Manny Machado is the perfect fit for this team.
I don't think he is the right fit for this team. The Phillies have, in the past couple of drafts, Pease, they've gone heavy in the infield and with shortstops. I'm not talking about the first rounds and all that. In the later rounds, they've gotten the infielders. They have up-and-coming. They have up-and-coming infield prospects.
There's like over 50 rounds, John. They're going to have to draft some infielders. I mean, you're right. But not one of their top 10 prospects is an infielder. The number one infielder who the Phillies have in their farm system is second baseman Daniel Brito at number 12, who they didn't even protect from the Rule 5 draft.
Only you would know
the prospect. About him.
But in the playoffs, piece, and I'm looking at the stats right now, Manny Machado in his entire career has brought in 513 RBIs. Bryce Harper, on the other hand, has brought in 521. Not a big difference, but to Gabe Kapler's lineup, this is the kind of people that Gabe Kapler needs to have in his lineup. He has an on-base percentage of 900, Bryce Harper, and Manny Machado has 8.822. You need to in order to work a Gabe Kapler lineup, and we saw it last year, you need to get guys on base. Bryce Harper is that kind of guy who gets you on base.
John, if you're bringing in Bryce Harper, you're not bringing him in to walk.
I understand that, but you can rely on him working the pitches.
On Manny Machado to hit around 300.
But Manny doesn't hustle. Manny does not hustle. He said it in the postseason.
Say he doesn't hustle, and he's still a better defender than Bryce Harper. That's sad. That's sad. If the fact that Bryce Harper's out there hustling every play and is still one of the worst defensive outfielders in MLB, that's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing that the Chicago White Sox gave a seven-year, $175 million contract to Manny Machado.
You talk about fit job. The Phillies only have to pay $175 million to land him. Meanwhile, Harper, they'd have to go north of $350. It's ridiculous. You bring in Manny Machado, there's still plenty of room left in the bag to re-sign Nola. There's plenty of room left to re-sign Hoskins, and then you could even bring in Trout. Bryce Harper completely breaks the bank, and he does it for 10 to 13 years.
I'm going to stand by what I've said this entire offseason. Bryce Harper is obviously the better player of these two.
No.
Yes, he is.
He's not even close to the better player. What dimension of baseball is Bryce Harper better at? Because last time I checked, Manny Machado had more home runs. They had just about the same number of RBIs. Manny Machado's defense, it's not even in the same league as Bryce Harper. Manny Machado's defense makes Bryce Harper look like he's a sixth grader playing CYO. Manny Machado is a far superior player than Bryce Harper, and it's not even close. Stats back that up, and the eye test backs that up.
On-base percentage, .388 for Bryce Harper. Manny Machado is just a little bit north than 300.
That's not true. Manny Machado is not just north of 300.
Yes, he is. I'm looking right now on MLB.com.
That's a false stat.
It's .335.
That is not just north of 300.
Compared to Bryce Harper, it was close to 400.
John, that's on-base percentage. When you look at on-base percentage, that is not the most important stat in baseball. It's not. That's ridiculous that you're bringing that up as the factor when every single other stat in the game, Manny Machado, you're saying that Bryce Harper is better only because of on-base percentage. And by the way, Manny Machado's on-base percentage last year, .367 for those listening at home.
Tav?
Well, I think that you have to think about Manny Machado. He played for the Orioles when, in contrast, Bryce Harper was playing for those national teams that really, they were good teams, but they couldn't really make the jump in the playoffs. So,
Abington, you are on fire.
Hold on.
For those listening, Manny Machado, .310 with the Orioles with absolutely no lineup protection whatsoever. Tom, what a point.
You'd rather have a guy who had – he saw his first time of playoff action last year with the Dodgers.
How many playoff series has Bryce Harper won? Oh, wait.
I don't know on the top of my head.
The answer is zero.
But he's been in it.
Hey, and guess what? He's been in it, and he's been a loser. Bryce Harper's not a winner. He's never won anything.
Winning, losing playoff games doesn't matter. The experience, to me, matters in this. And that's why
Machado has World Series experience. Bryce Harper has National League Division Series experience. You tell me what you prefer.
Obviously, it's a World Series, but listen, I'd rather have the best player out of these two who had some experience.
So then John Lazy would prefer Manny Machado.
No, I would not prefer Manny Machado. And with that, I'm going to bring in my Harper partner here, Garrett McCluskey. Garrett, we talked about it early on in the show. Bryce Harper is obviously the better player and better person to sign here in Philadelphia.
Bryce Harper is not even close to better player.
Yeah, I really think that it's the management that wants Manny Machado. I mean, as John said, based on the stats and everything, but I do think that the fans didn't really like his Johnny Hustle comments in the postseason.
Exactly.
So if you're talking about fit in terms of the city, it's definitely going to be Bryce Harper. And
Manny Machado will get torn apart here in the city of Philadelphia because of those comments.
Yes, he will.
No.
And,
You saw it one time with Jimmy Rollins.
There's a big difference. People are hating on Odubel Herrera not just because he's not hustling, but because he's not hustling and he's losing games. Manny Machado is going to come here and improve the team immensely. You're not going to hate on a guy who's hitting .300 as the best defender at his position in the game, winning you games, like you're going to hate on someone losing you games hitting .250. Completely opposite comparisons, and that's horrible to compare.
All right, Garrett, continue, because we obviously are the right person in this debate.
Not even close.
All right, well, I'm gonna ask a question to you guys. You know, today it just came out that apparently Gabe Kapler and Bryce Harper, quote, hit it off during their meeting in Las Vegas. And with all these minuscule reports surfacing, how many of them do you think are just Scott Boras with the ears of hungry reporters in order to up Harper's price from the White Sox and the Phillies? Hello? And it seems we're having some technical difficulties here. So John and John should be back with us shortly. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties, but we will be back with you guys
shortly. All right, sorry about that for those technical difficulty problems. Tab, we're going to bring you back into the debate here. What would you like to rebuttal this and all?
Well, if you bring in Manny Machado, you get Scott Kingery out of the Phillies infield, and you couldn't ask for anything more than getting rid of Scott Kingery, the worst player in the history of baseball, out of the infield with his 220 average and his average to below average defense, can't do anything, his incompetent swing. And
yeah, because you're going to take a guy who can not hit like that.
Scott Kingery?
I have no idea what you just said,
Joe.
No, I see. See, you just traded for a shortstop in Gene Segura. You can trade away Cesar Hernandez, and you put Scott Kingery in that second base position where he is supposed to be playing in this team. He is not a utility guy, and I think you can agree with that piece. He deserves to play one position and one position only.
John, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a fan of Scott Kingery, and I like having him in Philly. I mean, he's a good guy. He's young.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of potential. But he has in no way, shape, or form earned the right to play one position. When you are hit 220, you play wherever your manager puts you.
In his rookie season, he got called up so they can save him.
He got called up at the beginning of the year.
Yes, I understand that.
The whole season.
But you're going to have.
And hit 226. He has earned absolutely nothing.
I would love for you to look up Cesar Hernandez's rookie season stats.
I can tell you his on base percentage this past year was in the 370s.
Rookie season. So,
I'm unfamiliar with Cesar Hernandez's rookie season stats, John.
But you look at this guy, and he showed some light on this team.
Cesar Hernandez hit .289 in his rookie season, John.
And what did Kingery sign? Hit
.226.
Okay,
that is very significant difference. Also, Scott Kingery, you talk about on base, and oh, the Phillies need on base guys. But when it comes to Scott Kingery, his .267 on base is okay. What about Cesar's .344 in his rookie year? Scott Kingery did absolutely nothing and has earned the right to no starting position. Has earned the right to no position. He hasn't even earned the right to be on the major league roster yet.
I disagree. This guy has shown in the minors that he can do something.
In the minors. But what has he shown in the majors? What has he done to earn a spot on the Phillies 25-man roster?
He's been floating around. He has not been able to get comfortable in one position. And
how does that affect his offense?
Because he's worrying about playing other positions. He's fluctuating throughout the middle of the lineups and all.
John, when he's up at the batter's box, he's not thinking, oh, I'm playing shortstop today. That's ridiculous to say.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he had too much on his plate last year. He is a kind of player, if you're a young player, and the Phillies understand this, I think, they know that he's the future, he's a part of the future of this organization. Can we agree with that?
Maybe.
Well, I think he's the future of this organization. They gave him that contract at the end of spring training last year so they don't have to send him down to the minors and potentially lose him to get him off the 40-man, if that even had to happen. He was not being taken off the 40-man last year. But you have a guy here who they need to trust and grow in one position. He can't be playing on a Monday night in second base, on a Wednesday playing shortstop, and in the weekend he's fluctuating between third and shortstop. You can't on a young guy. He needs to grow in one position.
Okay, John, he's not even that young. He's 24, which is, yeah, still very young, but that's only 2 years younger than Bryce Harper. So I don't want to hear it about this age thing, John. By the time the season starts, he'll be 25 years old, which is the age Aaron Judge was when he debuted. Also, you're telling me Scott Kingery is that incompetent that he can't go from second base to shortstop? That's really not that big of a change. Players make it all the time, and you're telling me Scott Kingery is by making that simple change, he's now unable to hit. That somehow magically affected his ability to get on base, hit the ball, have any power whatsoever because he has none. Like, how do those correlate? Playing shortstop and second base are two different positions. They're different. I'm not disagreeing with that, but Scott Kingery seems to be only the only player in baseball that has that much of a trouble and allows that to affect his offense, which, because it doesn't, John. It has no effect on the fact that he's a 220 hitter. None. Not to mention he's a second baseman who people want to bat leadoff, who strikes out, what, 28% of the time? It's unbelievable. The guy can't hit. He can't even make contact with the ball. How many times has a run he come up this last season with a runner on third and one out and struck out? It's unbelievable. The Phillies as a whole do that, but Scott Kingery, another guy that cannot hit the ball if his only mission is to go up to the plate and make contact.
Tav, want to say anything?
Well, if you think that Scott Kingery is going to be the future of the Phillies franchise, that's pretty sad because you can't really build around a second baseman who can't really hit, is a decent defender.
I'm not
defender.
Saying that he's going to be the one player that they're going to build this team around. They're building this team around Rhys Hoskins.
You said that. You literally just contradicted yourself from earlier when you said Scott Kingery is the future of the franchise, who they should build around.
He's a part of the future of this franchise. I'm not saying he's the future player. But I'm saying I did not say that he is that one player that the Phillies organization and Matt Klintak is going to build this team around. He's a part of the plan. He's not that one player that they're going to say, yeah, that's the one guy that we're going to build this entire team around. We're going to sign everybody and draft people that fit with him. I did not say that.
John, honestly, though, Scott Kingery, you say he's part of the future, but second base is one of the most expendable positions in the game. There's no premium. It's no luxury position, John. The Phillies can replace him at the snap of a finger with someone better. And also, Cesar Hernandez currently is better than Scott Kingery. So there's no rush to get Scott Kingery into that position.
Hail Cesar, as you all are saying here, and Garrett's putting up on the board right now, he will be out of this city within the year or so.
No, he won't.
I really do think that.
The Phillies have zero motivation to trade Cesar Hernandez. Zero.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here on MLB Hot Stove Live. When we come back, we'll continue this debate between Scott Kingery, Bryce Harper, and Manny Machado, and we'll give you a few more updates from a few insiders on Major League Baseball and some key reporters in the league itself. All this and more on MLB Hot Stove Live, Season 2 of Episode 2 with John Pease and John Liuzzi. We'll be back after this quick commercial break.
St. Joe's Prep is a special place. It is where young men realize their potential and inspire others to do the same. It is a place where dedicated faculty challenge you to reach your best in the classroom, and outstanding coaches demand those same high qualities on the field, court, and river. It's where you are called to shine on the stage, in the courtroom, behind the mic, and at speech debate competitions. You don't come to the Prep because it's easy. You come to the Prep because you demand the best of yourself. If you're ready for this, if you're ready for the ultimate brotherhood, choose the prep, and we'll see you at 17th and Girard.
You're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep Sports year-round, only on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the top of the fourth hour here on MLB Hot Stove Live Season 2, just over a half hour here on Episode 2 of Season 2, a part of the John and John MLB Hot Stove Live Baseball Talk Show, the off-season baseball talk here on WSJP, the St. Joe's Prep Student Broadcasting Club Radio, and the voice of all things St. Joe's Prep. Peasby, pretty heated conversation there and a pretty heated debate for a little bit there. We'll get back into that swing of things just in a little bit, but we're going to bring on WSJP club member Ben DiGiacomo on. He has a couple questions about Bryce Harper and the Manny Machado situation itself.
Yeah, John, I really think that we're all forgetting about Michael Franco on the team. I get there's a lot of speculation about him being traded and all, but like he did hit 270 last year. What about that?
With a negative 14 defensive runs saved, his defense was a big part.
Michael Franco is – I honestly have
– plus the Padres have expressed interest in him. So getting a good
– I Philly, understand. I know.
But listen, Pease and I are going to talk about this. Michael Franco is most likely a trade bait for the Philadelphia Phillies. They can trade him out to San Diego. They can maybe even get – they can't get him out to Cleveland because of that infield depth right there, but they can send him out to San Diego, get a couple pitching prospects or somebody out there, and you just made a great trade.
But honestly, third base is the one position Cleveland struggled to fill, so I mean
they have Jose Ramirez though.
Oh, I don't know, I forgot about the goat J-Ram, but he plays second base too. So
they got he can split that time with Jason Kipnis out there. I wouldn't be surprised, but you can maybe get him out to Cleveland then for Brad Hand, maybe.
Oh, Brad, that'd be a bit of a stretch. But, yeah, bottom line is Michael Franco is a big trade for the Phillies.
At the deadline, Franco and the Hand trade was pretty – there was a lot of talk and a lot of speculation of that probably going to happen. Obviously, Hand got traded to Cleveland, but I wouldn't be surprised if that those talks get up. I know it's two different teams, Pease, but –
and
it was there.
Stay tuned a little later to see how I have Brad Hand potentially coming to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that'll be on our last segment of Episode 2. Pease and I will give our three must moves for the Philadelphia Phillies before they break for camp in Clearwater just under a month from now. Get back then.
I am on your side with Harper, about saying if the Phillies nail Harper but strike out on Machado, I'm saying Michael Franco is not a bad piece to have as a fallback option.
Well, Ben wants to talk about the love for Michael Franco. Let's bring this back to Tom, who's one of the biggest Michael Franco fans
in
Philadelphia. Tom.
All right, Ben, thank you for joining us on MLB Hot Stove Live. Taz, talk about anything on this?
Well, I love Michael Franco, and I think he really improved. I remember he had that first year, his rookie year, he was going to be the heir to the throne, and Ryan Howard's throwing right there at first base, but then he really evolved as, like, this third baseman because Ryan Howard was on that contract, the really bad contract. Like, I love Ryan Howard and all, but that was a really terrible contract. But I think, to get back to my point, I feel like Michael Franco would be a great piece, and if anything, if you have to get rid of him, you can give him to the Indians. He can play first base over Joey Bowers. I don't care. He can definitely play first base because first and third, they can definitely you can go hand in hand, just like shortstop and second base. But apparently Scott Kingery just can't do that, and that affects his offensive ability of getting on base or getting contact on the ball. But I think if you strike out a Machado, which would be very tragic as Manny Machado would be the best bet for the Phillies. I don't think Mike has that option at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against – I'm sorry to interrupt you here, Pease, but if you trade Michael Franco, you're almost have that written down agreement with Manny Machado to play third base. Because you would probably keep Gene Segura at shortstop.
Gene Segura is playing shortstop.
Yeah. So if
you sign Manny Machado,
my only fear of how the Phillies cannot get Manny Machado is that he wants to play shortstop over any other position.
Well, John, he's gonna. If the Phillies sign him, it's gonna be on the premise.
I think Manny Machado is by far a better third baseman than shortstop.
Yeah, well, so does everyone, John. One of the best third.
But he's gonna want to go to a team that he knows he can play the shortstop and be the captain of that infield.
He's gonna go
day in and day out.
He's gonna go to the team that's gonna pay him the most money, John. And right now, with Chicago White Sox offering him only $175, that's looking like the Phillies have
a
very high chance.
That's a really sad offer. That's almost like a slap to his face. Tav, I don't know. I'm sure you've seen the report that came out today from Buster Olney, one of the senior baseball analysts on ESPN. What are your thoughts about that offer that Machado was given by the White Sox?
Well, I think it was maybe one of the worst. I think that was a terrible offer from the White Sox because Manny – You're trying to get a top five guy in MLB, and you're not the most important team in Chicago. The Cubs have been over you, even though you've been better than the Cubs for most of your history. But the Cubs are just first because they were the lovable losers, but now they're starting to win. And now that you're the White Sox with, I think, the second worst stadium at Guaranteed Rates Field, you're not going to give the guys that you want a whole lot of money, then how are you – there's no way to entice them, and you're not going to get any players, but if you're going to give them around $25 million a year when you could easily put it at $300 for – and also I don't like the years on that. I don't like the seven. I don't like the – it's just everything is wrong about that offer, and just – you being the White Sox, you got to give them definitely more money. If you were the Cubs, I think it would be a little bit of a different story. But I just think because you're those second class citizens in Chicago, because you're that team in the middle, as they've always been. You gotta go all out. You can't just go 7 years, $175 million, which would be a lot of money for a guy like me. I could move into Center City or like Society Hill, but I'm not a top five professional baseball player, and I'm not the so you definitely got. I think that was just a terrible contract, and that's just how that's literally the you definitely just did the steps and showed everybody that's how to not get a top five free agent.
And also, that really opens the door for the Philadelphia Phillies to swoop in. And if you're telling me we can get Manny Machado for under, if you, anyone in their right mind would, if you had the choice between getting Manny Machado for 7 years and under $200 million compared to paying Bryce Harper 10 to 13 years and $350 million, anyone in their right mind takes that Manny Machado contract, and it sets the Phillies up perfectly to swoop in and take that.
The Phillies, for all they could do is give a seven-year, $176 million contract. I know it's so stupid to say, but it's $1 million more than the $175 that the White Sox are willing to offer. But you also got to think this is something similar to what the Red Sox did last year with J.D. Martinez. The last year that Bob Nightingale, one of the USA Today baseball writers, and he's been really on the top in the of the talk with the Bryce Harper and Manny Machado kind of thing, and talking a lot about the Phillies and all. He was on the 94.1 WIP's The High Hopes baseball talk show a couple weeks ago. He was on MLB Network a couple times within the past couple of days. I've seen that. But he tweeted out about 4 hours ago today that the White Sox made their seven-year, $175 million offer about 2 weeks ago and haven't felt the need to alter it in that 2 weeks. And they bid against themselves, basically, he's saying. And it's a lot like what the Red Sox did last year with J.D. Martinez. The Red Sox offered him a $100 million contract in February. So they waited a long time there. And Martinez is also another Boris client. Obviously, Machado is not connected to Boris. It's Bryce Harper, the 8-1 player, who's doing that. But they can hold out for this and potentially get a bargain deal with this if no other team alters it. Obviously, I think the Phillies are going to be altering their contract. I'm not sure what the initial offer was, but it's pretty sad offer, and it's a really ridiculous offer, and the Chicago White Sox should be ashamed of themselves, in my perspective piece, that they offered one of Major League Baseball's top players this contract, and he's looking for that bigger contract. And I think they're relying on what they've done so far in their offseason. They brought in John Jay, a player that Machado works out with in Miami. They brought in his brother-in-law, Alonso. So I don't know. It's a weird take of this contract talk.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why I think the Phillies are going to end up, I've been saying this, neither players are going to be signing till mid-February, and I think that because the Phillies are going to wait with these players. They're going to wait until the end. It's not even the agents that's going to decide this anymore. It's going to be the Phillies waiting to the end until these players realize that they're down to their very last resorts. And at the time of desperation where these players are like, at this point, they need a team, the Phillies are going to swoop in. And that's when they have really a chance, especially the White Sox set them up perfectly to get a bargain deal with Manny Machado.
Tab, before we end this talk in your time here on MLB Hot Stove Live, we'd love to have you back on another episode, but any final thoughts about this whole debate and these talks that we've had within the past 45 minutes or so?
Yeah, well, I hope we get Manny Machado. If we could get Bryce, but I would only take Bryce if we get Manny Machado first, of course. But also, I also hope I'm wrong about Scott Kingery, because every time I'm wrong about Scott Kingery, he does something well. When I was at a game this summer, it was about July, was with my girlfriend in, like, Ashburn Alley. We were, I was talking about...
Getting some Tony Luke's out there? Or were you getting some crab fries?
No, I think I was getting,
Heading to the park. That's what you were obviously doing.
Yeah, but
the
I was
football,
like, this
the football
so
place, yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, this guy's so awful, this guy's so terrible, like, oh, they should just get rid of him. Now, he's literally the worst hitter, can't do anything, you can't rely on him. Right then and there, he hits a homer to left field, perfect. And I was like,
remember
oh,
that.
Okay,
I remember that.
Yeah, and then she said, she's like, oh, I guess he's not terrible. But then I'm like, he's terrible. He just got lucky this one time. So those 8 homers that he had this season, one of them was pretty memorable. I'll give him one. But I just hope everything goes right for the Phillies, because it's been a rough couple years. We've had the Jeff Francoeurs of the world, Ty Wigington,
Ty Wigington. Peter Borges.
Borges, yeah. Jerome
Cody
Williams.
Cody Ashy.
Pink glove. Cody Ashy, yeah. It's just glad that we're moving from the Carlos Santana, like our biggest signing last year was Carlos Santana. Now, biggest signing is going to be Manny Machado. I love how it's working. And I love how Philly's really they're really thriving. I think they're definitely going to get one of those guys. And then I think we need to bring in some pitching. But I think that's you got to get your star and you got to get the face of your franchise. Because I think they're going to make the playoffs and you know, you can't just – it's like the A's this year. Like, they didn't really have a face. They had Chris Davis, but he's not really that much of a vocal guy. But you just need that – billboard guy, just his face of the team, you know. So, yeah,
Tab,
go Phil.
You made a lot of good points here. I know from – I can speak for myself, Pisa. Hopefully you can speak the same thing. We would love to have you on for another episode on this Hot Stove. Well, hopefully when we break down the Phillies and obviously when we go down to Florida with the St. Joe's Prep baseball team, within a month of now, we're 2 months away rather, let me correct that, 2 months away from that trip. You can catch all that coverage obviously here on WSJP when we head down with the team to Disney. Tab, thanks for coming on the show, and we hope to see you soon. All right, that was Tom Avington there, one of our baseball analysts and insiders here in WSJP. And at this time, we're going to head to our next segment on the show, which is the Where is the Free Agent Going to Go? And this week, we're going to bring on freshman Aiden Sweeney, who had some time playing baseball in his days. But Sweeney, we have about a handful of names here for you. We're going to just give you the names, and you're going to tell us basically what Ricky did last week. You're going to tell us where the guy's going to go, and then Pease and I will obviously talk about it. So our first guy is starting pitcher Dallas Keuchel. Where will Keuchel end up next year?
I think that Dallas Keuchel will end up with the Milwaukee Brewers. He's that pitcher that can just get them over the hump after the NLCS Game 7 loss to the Dodgers. I think if he's starting that game, they may win that game, go on to the World Series to play the Boston Red Sox.
Interesting take here, Pease. I don't see Keuchel heading to the NL Central at all. If he's heading to the NL, it's going to be in the East, or he's going to head back to the AL, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Brewers, they could use a starting pitcher like Dallas Keuchel. It's just that I don't know if they're going to have the money to be able to do that. It'd be a power move for the Brewers if they're able to bring in someone like that. And I like the thought of, you know, they need starting pitching, obviously.
Great bullpen, but they
need some starters. Dallas Keuchel would be a great place to start. But from my vantage point, it's just, are they going to have the money to make that contract work? And
I don't think they have enough money there. And I'm not sure the money market in Milwaukee is, but I don't think they're a big market compared to, like, in Philadelphia, New York, and the Giants and Dodgers and all those kind of teams that live in a bigger profile market. Milwaukee is an up-and-coming city itself. So I think if the Brewers try to get a starting pitcher, it's going to be through a trade. I think that's the only way that they can afford and obviously there's no cap space piece, but fluctuating the money back to from teams and all, I think the only way they can adjust and improve that starting rotation is through a trade. A player that's been rumored to go to Milwaukee is Madison Bumgarner. Haven't really heard a lot in the past week of those talks. I know last week the talks were increasing a little bit, but I think ever since that, they've went down.
Yeah, definitely. I just think for Milwaukee, I mean, it'd be a good signing, but realistically, I don't see it.
Yeah, I think Keuchel, just because of his asking price, I think it's like 6 years. It's like 6 years, 160 plus. I just don't think Milwaukee has enough of that. I think he'll end up probably signing back with an American League team. I don't know if the Astros can get him. We'll have to see if he heads back to Houston. He really refound himself in Houston. He had a couple bad years early on in his career, but ever since that, he's grown into this pitcher that he is now. So our next player for you, Sweeney, is Josh Harrison, the former utility guy of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Still thinking about NFL here, but where will Harrison be signing come spring training?
I think he'll be in Washington with the Nationals. I was thinking that he was going to go to the Yankees earlier in the offseason, but they already have his main position is second base, and they already have a young and upcoming Gleyber Torres playing there. So I just think he's going to be in Washington this offseason.
I disagree 100% with that. The Nationals just signed Brian Dozier to a one-year deal worth $9 million, and they already have a lot of infield depth there. Dozier will probably be sharing starting time at second base.
Is he
coming into second base?
He's coming into second base. His only real competition would be Wilmer Defoe, who
I take what I just said back. So I don't think – and the Washington is an interesting team. They're fighting in the race right now with the Phillies for Bryce Harper. I don't see Washington making a fight for Harper again. They just don't have enough money to spend. They signed Patrick Corbin to a 6-year, $140 deal. They still have Rendon, Zimmerman. They got Scherzer, and they got Strasburg's contracts. I don't think the amount of money that they can get before they go over the luxury tax is there to sign a guy like Harrison, even to a minimum contract. I think they did what they needed to do in the infield already. They got a veteran bat who can start, and also when his off days, he can come off the bench and give that little pop to that lineup. Would you agree with that piece?
Yeah, definitely. The Nationals for me isn't as great a fit. I mean, I loved him in Pittsburgh, and
yeah,
I mean the writing on the wall might still be there for a return, but
he fit Pittsburgh perfectly
for me.
Just the city itself and what they bring to that organization.
For me, I think we'll probably see him in a Texas Rangers jersey.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Rangers were one of those teams that were in the talks for Harrison at the trade deadline. So obviously they have a lot of interest in the second baseman, and he can play all around in the infield. He might even be able to play outfield. I'm not sure about that. Don't mark my words on that, but he can be a very beneficial utility guy for a first-year manager down there in Texas this year. So our next guy is third baseman Mike Moustakas. We're bringing him back for a second week here in the segment. Where will the Moose be signing?
I think he'll be in San Diego with the Padres. They need veteran leadership on that team, and that'll be a good pickup for them. He has playoff experience. I think he could get them over the hump into the playoffs, and if they do get into the playoffs, leave them for a postseason run.
Well said, Ace. For an infield that is about to be joined by two top 30 prospects in the MLB, one in Fernando Tatis Jr. at shortstop, and I can't remember the second baseman's name, but I believe he comes in at 22 or 28 on the MLB pipeline
list. They're just not willing to bring him up right away.
Yeah, they're going to be bringing those guys up soon, especially Tatis Jr. He should be up this year, and with an infield that young, bringing in a veteran like Mike Moustakas to play third base, that would be a perfect move for San Diego. I love that signing, and I think there's a very good chance it
will
happen.
Already brought in Ian Kinsler, another veteran guy that can play the second base.
Yeah.
Until that prospect comes up, I think that's just signing Kinsler instead of another guy is just for safety issues there. But our next guy is closer Craig Kimbrell. He spent the past couple years in Boston. I know you're a Red Sox fan yourself. I'm hoping you don't say the Red Sox here, but I have a feeling you will. Where will Kimbrell be signing?
Kimbrell will not be going to the Red Sox. Personally, I don't really want him back in Boston. After his performance in the postseason last year, he almost blew a couple games in the ALCS for the Red Sox and the ALDS against the Yankees. So I think if the Phillies can get him to lower his contract a lot, because he has very minimal interest right now because he's asking for way too much money after his performance in the postseason last year, that probably killed his money on his contract, but I think he'll eventually sign with the Phillies.
Well, I don't want Craig Kimbrell personally
in
Philadelphia.
Here.
Even if we get him to lower his number a significant amount, I don't see him, you know, the lowest he's probably going to go is the ballpark of Kenley Jansen, 5 years, $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's worth anything remotely close to that. In fact, Zach Britton signed for 3 guaranteed years and $33 million, then I would value Kimbrell a lot lower than that. I don't see Kimbrell going anywhere else but the Red Sox, and I don't expect the Red Sox to give him any more than 2 years, honestly. What he's asking for is out of the equation, I think, from any team, and I think the Phillies especially. I would hate to see him in Phillies uniform.
I think the Phillies sign David Robertson simply because they don't want to have – they just can't – he's not a perfect fit for this organization, and I don't think he's a perfect fit for a Gabe Kapler – way of a bullpen
or
the locker room. I think the only thing that Kimbrell is using to his advantage, and I could be totally wrong here, but he does have 2 World Series rings under his belt. He's been to the All-Star games numerous times in his career. I think Britton is by far a better reliever of Craig Kimbrell, and I think Britton got even a little bit underpaid for that by the Yankees, but I just don't see him signing here with the Phillies, Sweeney. And I think whatever team signs him, they're going to get this cancerous kind of guy for the locker room.
Yep, definitely.
All right, so our next person here on the segment is Adam Ottavino. Did I butcher that last name?
You did not.
All right, 2 for 2 here on the hot stove back-to-back weeks. His name has been rumored to the Yankees and Red Sox, but where do you see the reliever coming over from Colorado going?
I think he's going to be a Boston Red Sox next season. They need a reliever. They need some bullpen depth after last season. Joe Kelly obviously left to go to the Dodgers, and they just need some stability, a good transition guy to get to – in a seventh and eighth inning guy, just get to the closer that they will eventually sign, if it's Craig Kimbrell or with someone else that they either trade or sign. But he would be a really key piece in the Red Sox bullpen for after Chris Sale throws 7 innings, he pitches the 8th inning, they get a good closer in to pitch the 9th inning.
Well, Yeah, definitely. Adam Ottavino, a key reliever. But in my opinion, if you bring back Craig Kimbrell, you don't get Ottavino as well. I think it's kind of a one or the other situation. I said last week I think that if the Red Sox don't bring back Kimbrell, they will get this go out and get this guy. I think it would be a good signing for Boston, but that would mean they'd have to be parting ways with Craig Kimbrell, and I'm not really sure that they're going to do that, even though, you know, as you said, a horrible postseason, which led to Nathan Eovaldi having to take over as closer. So
yeah, and I'm thinking because of what the Yankees have done so far to that bullpen, they signed Britton back. They already have Aroldis Chapman. I don't think Ottavino fits the Yankees picture at the moment right now, and I think brings the Red Sox the favorite to land the pitcher himself. So I think he would be a great addition to Boston. Alex Cora would obviously use him in numerous situations and position-wise in that bullpen. Would you be surprised if he chose to be the closer in Boston?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I mean, obviously with Wade Davis in Colorado, wasn't really the closer out there, I don't think. But a guy that can definitely pitch late in the game, and if he was not the closer, which I don't think he was, I think he could definitely take foot in that role for Boston if need be.
And our final two guys is obviously the big guys of the free agency, and this is what we've been talking entirely of this show on, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, Sweeney. Where will both of those guys be signing in the next coming weeks, hopefully?
First, I'm going to start with Manny Machado. I think he'll end up with the Philadelphia Phillies. And
beautiful.
On a pretty big contract, but not as big as Bryce Harper's. They save a little bit of money so that they can
What would the contract be? I'm interested now to see what people think of the contract for Manny Machado is because of what the White Sox have done.
I would say around 8 years, $235 to $250 million.
I think you can even get Machado for, like, $210 for 8 years, piece, to save that money to put to Bryce Harper. So
I just think if Bryce Harper does sign with the Phillies before Manny Machado will not sign with the Phillies. Manny Machado wants to be
said they're not getting both.
Yeah,
also.
They said they –
And that's completely smart. You can't afford both. You'd have to break the bank, and that would take out any chance of Trout, any chance of re-signing Aaron Nola, and any chance of re-signing Reese Hoskins. So you can't break the bank and spend $70 million a year on just two players.
Yeah, it's one or the other, I think.
And I like it being Machado coming to Philadelphia, not only because he's the better player, but also because it saves the money to give – and you can spread it around to Reese Hoskins and Aaron Nola and still have room left for Mike Trout. So I think that Manny Machado, in terms of building this franchise, is the better player. And Aiden Sweeney, good work.
Where will Harper be ending up?
I think he'll be ending up back with the Washington Nationals.
Have you been hanging out with John Pease too much lately?
That's what's going to happen, John.
I don't think so.
Aiden knows. He knows. It's what's going to happen.
All right, how can the Nationals afford Harper?
They're going to have to go over the luxury tax to do it. But, John, they've already offered him a contract, quote-unquote, well north of $300 million. Bryce Harper to Washington, it's going to happen. And I'm sorry that it's going to upset you when you see it.
I just think – I thought the Yankees were going to be the leader coming out of this. But with that Giancarlo Stanton contract, 13 years, what is it, $365 million, there's no way they could afford him and Bryce Harper.
Also, for the Nationals, what's interesting, John, you bring in Bryce Harper, then that gives them the flexibility to, you know, include a prospect like Victor Robles in a trade to the Marlins for JT Realmuto. So for the Nationals, you'd have to go over the little luxury tax, but in the way that you could trade that prospect and by including him in a trade, the Marlins would be more than tempted to give away JT Realmuto to them. I think that for the Nationals, it's in their complete best interest to re-sign Bryce Harper, and Aiden Sweeney said it perfectly. That's where he's going to go.
All right, Sweeney, thank you for the insight on here. I'm going to take this quick segment now as we wrap up episode 2 here on MLB Hot Stove Live. It is where John and I will give our 3 must moves this offseason for the Philadelphia Phillies. I'll go quickly, Pete, and then you'll go quickly, and then we'll wrap up the show itself, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first move, obviously, as I am a Harper Crusader myself, is sign Bryce Harper to a 10-year deal, around $350 million for Harper. My second move is trade Odubel Herrera, Aaron Altair, and Adonis Medina, and cash considerations to the Cleveland Indians for Corey Kluber, and they can also trade for Mike Minor, a left-handed pitcher in Texas. I'm not sure who you would give away in that trade itself, but you need a left-hander in that bullpen for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, the Indians would be selling a little bit low on Corey
Kluber. You
might
be able to take a little bit more of Kluber's money and give that back to Cleveland.
You'd have to maybe switch Aaron Altair with maybe a little better of an outfield
prospect. Roman Quinn.
Let's
trade, put Roman Quinn in there.
Let's not do that. But I think that that's a trade that, you know, could happen, you know, structuring it around Medina as the prospect return and Odubel Herrera as the MLB main piece. I think that, you know, the Indians need desperate for outfield depth. Odubel would, sadly for them, be a big upgrade to their current lineup. And just be a nice guy because, you know, that lineup is so top-heavy. You know, Lindor, J-Ram, and then it's just the top-heaviness of that lineup is incredible. And to build some depth to make Odubel a solid seven-hitter for them, it would really help out the Indians a lot. I just think, you know, you have to replace Aaron Altair with a little lower, maybe a lower prospect for the Phillies. And that's a trade that definitely could work.
Yeah.
And for mine, number one is get Manny Machado on an eight-year deal. I think that's so important for this team. You know, taking that step from rebuilding to finally there, that's the number one thing you can do and the best improvement this team can make from both a defensive and offensive standpoint. The number two, I also have the Phillies dealing Odubel Herrera and Aaron Altair to Cleveland, but in my return, I have them getting Brad Hand, and I think that would be a great trade to make just because for Cleveland, so desperate for outfielders, you give them Odubel Herrera, guaranteed starter there, around a seven-hitter, and then also including Aaron Altair, a guy who, you know, if when he's been healthy, he's been pretty good besides this past season for Philadelphia, especially 2 years ago. I remember a stretch where he was hitting a home run. It felt like every game. So for Cleveland, you know, taking that risk might be worth it to try and find a piece for their outfield that could really be an immense upgrade. And if Altair could turn out for them, maybe the change of scenery could help him get back on track. And for Cleveland, that'd give them two solid outfielders. And, you know, that'd be giving up Brad Hand to the Phillies, who desperately need that star left-handed closer, I think. This trade works out for both parties because Cleveland also has, I'm slipping on his name right now, I think it's Cody, I can't think of his last name though, to step in and fill their closer role.
Not Cody Allen because he's a free agent.
Ah, you're right.
Cody Allen is a free agent on that. Ricky gave his talk last week about that, but your last move?
And I think the Phillies, it's signed Curtis Granderson to a one-year deal, and I think it's, you know, obviously not the, you know, big move that everyone's going to be talking about, but the Phillies really need a left-handed power bat coming off the bench, and I think Curtis Granderson could desperately be that guy and fill that role in for the Phillies really well, a guy that can come off the bench, hit home runs, hit for a little bit of average, but he can get on base well and steal some bags, and if you have to put him in to be a defensive substitute, he's a guy that can make that work.
You said the Phillies need a left-handed power bat, correct?
Off the bench.
Bryce Harper, starter,
I said
power back, left-handed, play right field for Gabe Kapler on opening day.
Even if you sign Bryce Harper, I still want Curtis Granderson because the Phillies
They also need a veteran guy in that clubhouse. All right, that will do it for John and I here on MLB Hot Stove Live, Season 2 of Episode 2. Hope you liked what we talked about here on the show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at SJP Broadcasting for information regarding every broadcast and SJ Prep Underscore Sports for latest scores and stats every prep game. The Hot Stove will be back next Wednesday, January 23rd at 3 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com/WSJP. And our next broadcast here on WSJP will be this upcoming Friday at 3:30 p.m., where the prep basketball team takes on the Eagles of Conwell Egan High School in a PCL matchup. Dom Rachetti and Tyler Conrad will have the call of that game. So for John Pease, I'm John Liuzzi, saying so long for now. We'll see you next week here on MLB Hot Stove Live. Have a good night. Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, the Phillies. We'll talk about that next week here on the Hot Stove. Thanks for tuning in, and good night.